what I mean by saying that Vue is now better than ever is that those new changes and those new stuff that is there for Vue 3 and actually kind of in Vue 2, this is really great stuff.
Welcome to the JS World Podcast, powered by passionate people. Here we interview our speakers from the JS World Conference. We talk life, tech, and all sorts of things. Like what we have to offer? Like and subscribe. And don't forget to follow us on at JS World Conf on Twitter.
Hello, welcome to another episode of JS World Podcast. My name is Christopher. I work as a consultant at Passionate People. And today, I'm joined by my co-host.
Hi, I'm Kisu, helper on Stack Overflow, Linux Ambassador, and we also have this amazing man.
Hello.
Hi, would you like to introduce yourself?
Okay, I'm Artur Rosa. I work in Montreal, the company that kind of love Vue. And I'm there the front-end developer and architect. And basically front-end geek.
Front-end geek, even? Wow.
Okay.
So what of the front-end do you geek out about?
So I actually all of them, because I love to, you know, disassembly stuff to the parts and look how they work under the hood. So that's why I really love not just front-end, but also back-end and taking the ideas from all stuff. That's why I also love open source, and I love to read open source, basically.
Cool. So as you said, it's the same thing with back-end. Do you have some experience as a
I have some
back-end
experience.
Developer?
I wouldn't say I'm full stack, but I can read, I can change some stuff. But it's like my story, but...
It doesn't have to be the story, right? It's useful knowledge to have, though.
That's right. And I strongly recommend it to everyone to always try to at least understand what's going on, because it's very valuable. Even though if you want to focus fully on front-end, it's great to know what is going on under the hood.
Absolutely. Do you have any back-end experience?
Yeah, of course. I was full stack when I first began. I was doing Ruby on Rails, so it was fun. But then I just focused more on Vue.js. Still, yeah, I totally agree on the fact that you need some backend to at least give some feedback to the backend team or to understand what are some problematics that you may face. That way, you're not just swearing at your backend team like, "Oh, why is this so slow?"
Oh my God. I mean, it's that separation of disciplines that sometimes we do have to swear at the backend team.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if you did add a little bit of knowledge so you could understand what's going on. That's absolutely.
This is
true.
Why we have serverless, you know.
No more backend needed, you mean?
Yeah,
nowadays you have Next with all the functions, API functions. That's great.
Yeah,
that
that's super cool.
Don't really need to actually know very, very. You don't need to know how to implement the backend from the beginning, but you can just put some functions and it just works.
Yeah, that's true.
Still, there are the fact that Nuxt is isomorphic and that you still need to know how iteration works and all of those intricacies, because you cannot use any window API on the server. Otherwise, you will get the mismatch. So yeah, that's why even if you don't need to know what is Postgre or how to deploy that to AWS, it's still useful to get this kind of knowledge.
So actually Next is front-end and back-end itself, so you need to know what's
especially
going
Next
on
3.
In Node, right?
Yeah.
But that's not why you were here today, because today, during your talk, you spoke about the Vue Report Amsterdam 2022, and I hope by the time this gets published, it will be on a website, but for now, it's only the hard copy version here. Tell us a little bit about how did your talk go?
I think that was pretty interesting. I had my personal story and personal confession, I would say, about my romance with Vue.
Your romance?
Yeah, it was a love story, actually. And yeah, it was... I meant to actually show how Vue developers could feel for the last 2 years because of the all change that is happening in the ecosystem. So we have Vue 2, we have Vue 3. Some people are still hardly there with Vue 2 applications. And without seeing any opportunities to migrate to Vue 3 yet because of some hard dependencies and stuff like this.
Or like because of Nuxt or Vue.tify.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. And my story was meant for those people to actually tell them that Vue now is actually better than it ever was. And I wanted to point it out.
So what makes Vue better than it ever was?
So the great thing is that in Vue, even if we are using Vue 2 applications, and even if we cannot take full advantages of all the new stuff that is there in the ecosystem, we can still use some new features. We can start using Composition API. And yesterday, Evan said about this version 2.7 of Vue, where Composition API will be a native solution. And we can start using those libraries that supports both Vue 2 and Vue 3, like Vue.use or Pinya. We can start using Vite and Vitest. And the point is that by using those tools, we are actually moving closer to the migration, to the point where it will be easier, where when dependencies will be ready, it will be easier to eventually migrate to Vue 3. And that part is kind of awesome. And what is the great, what I mean by saying that Vue is now better than ever is that those new changes and those new stuff that is there for Vue 3 and actually kind of in Vue 2, this is really great stuff.
It is.
Those are great technologies that are there and new opportunities and new ways to actually express yourself. So those versatility of Vue and flexibility is even better right now.
That's cool. It sounds to me like Vue is almost like a progressive web app.
This is what's written on the homepage.
Yeah.
Actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I did not check the homepage for that, in all honesty. But yeah, that's the way you're describing
for
it to
Vue 2, that Vue 2 is progressive framework, right?
Yeah.
But progressive in the sense also then every minor version of version 2 is inching closer towards version 3 in terms of feature set, which makes perfect sense because it allows teams who are still stuck on 2 to at least introduce new features, enjoy working with a new developer experience, and at some point migrate.
That's right. And today we heard a couple of presentations also about moving from Vue 2 to Vue 3, as well as presentation from Linus, for example, about how to shape your library, if you're creating a library, to work in both Vue 2 and Vue 3. So the ecosystem is actually catching up, and we can see it. And the dependencies like Vue.tify or Nuxt are very close to being ready. And that's cool to see.
Nuxt is already ready.
That's really cool.
Well, one thing that helped quite a lot is also the fact that back in mid-February, Vue 3 was the default, and we got a brand new documentation refined from top to bottom. And so it was rewritten by Evan Yu and all the core team. So this helped quite a lot regarding the migration into Vue 3.
So these are things that I don't know, but since you are a core member,
probably you don't know about the best thing about the new documentation.
No.
The dark
command
mode.
K.
Yeah, exactly.
Command
the dark K? Mode.
That no command K?
We have that.
To be serious, there is also interactive tutorial. This is something totally new. This is great. So we can just go to documentation and pass through this interactive tutorial and understand how things are going. And you can check from Composition API to Options API.
Yeah, so for example, if you go there, you have this kind of syntax.
Watch your free video, listen to
you can code. Change it, and then you have the hooks.
Options, right. So it's the Vue 2, the V2 and V3 ways of doing things. Yeah, exactly.
So the Options API versus the Composition API.
Actually, I don't think it's that Options API is just Vue 2 thing. It's still a thing.
It's still a valid option.
It's the more beginner-friendly, easier, less flexible. But totally good enough.
Yeah.
Way
so
of
so
doing
it's
things.
Very. That's what I really liked about Vue. So this is probably the fifth or sixth time I'm going to say this, but I had my first Vue experience in October. The reason why I'm bringing this up again is I really liked, for example, the Options API. How dark mode?
The dark
for sure.
Mode.
For sure, dark mode. Is it automatic based on time?
Oh,
I guess it is.
I mean, it's front end. You could do back end.
We're
time,
always on dark matter. You know,
so. Maybe this.
I don't know.
Yeah, I am one of the few who actually likes light websites when it's daylight. But going back to the options API, I thought it was very verbose, but in a good sense, right? Because it gave you a very good impression of what am I doing. Very direct feedback
it's
in that
sense.
It's
not just how you can do it, but also why you should do it that way. And this is great. And also the part of documentation, which is style guide. So the part that actually shows you best practices of using framework. And this part is really awesome. Not so many frameworks have stuff like this.
Hmm. Style guide. So where would we be able to find the style guide? I'm quickly going through the documentation right now, just looking at this.
I guess. This
will not be seen on the camera, but we can probably put some links afterwards. But here, sorry, so as always, I know it's here, just that the name changed.
At least it was for Vue 2. I was pretty sure it's still there.
No, it's still here, just that the name changed quite a bit. So.
At least two weeks ago, it was still there in the menu.
No, it's still here. It just like moved into some place.
Okay, but that's okay. That's okay. So this is one of the highlights that you've talked about. Of course, the State of Vue Amsterdam 2022, right?
Yeah. That's
Are there any other highlights that you would like to share?
Yeah, I think that there is a repeating theme in the report. So, and this theme is not too dissimilar to what I was talking on my presentation, and it is developer experience. You will definitely find a lot of information about developer experience, and you will find out that this is an important topic for people, but also for library authors and framework authors like frameworks like Vue or Next.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to see that this is actually a priority, because this is something that, at least for me, this is something that made me fall in love with Vue. So this is the part I love with Vue, and it's great that that is still there and really evolving, and it's even better than it was.
So do you see, is there a very clear line, not just Vue, but also the library surrounding it, that the focus is on developer experience is getting more and more?
At least it is something I get from the interviews here in the report. So you can find the interview with Anthony Fu. So he's talking a little bit about his libraries, but also about Next and Vue and this focus particularly. But also Evan mentioned it quite a lot of times with his interview.
There's also the benefit of Vue having less libraries doing the same thing. For example, we have some things like Vuex and Pinya, which are basically state management, but with some clear boundaries. But overall, if we want something like specific, like to handle some kind of lazy loading or whatever, we don't have 15 libraries like that. Usually you only have one, which is official, and so you can just use that and it works. So it can be a drawback because you don't have plenty of choice, but at the same time, if you just want something that works and is properly supported and to not confuse a lot of users, it's perfect. Because I tend to see some people using, I don't know, some Gatsby or Next packages, which are like, so it's Gatsby-image/next or next Gatsby, and so on. Like, oh damn, which version is it? Which one is it? I mean, which one should you use? Which one is properly supported? And so this is sometimes a headache, because the first thing that you go, that you need to do is to find which library to use and then to decide to try out. While in Vue, you just pick one and this is official and it works. So it's also a good benefit that we have in the ecosystem.
That's a wonderful benefit. I mean, I think we all know like how much time you can lose on finding packages that support your use case.
Yeah.
And then also sometimes there could be like version conflicts with other packages that you have. It makes it a nightmare sometimes.
We also have this wonderful awesome pages, so it's awesome-vue, where you can see basically any kind of table libraries, framework, UI framework libraries, any kind of thing, and which is all listed, and it's perfect. to totally recommend that.
Perfect, even.
Yeah.
And, that's a big statement.
I think that it also shows something about the community. So it's not like, okay, I need this use case, so I create a new library. Hmm. Actually, people are helping each other to make those libraries better. So you can see a lot of contributors, for example, for those libraries, and that's great to see. Like for Next modules you mentioned, it's you know, you can always create your own module for that, but it's great to see that people want to actually help to develop those tools and make them better.
All of this sounds like the Vue ecosystem is really finally finding its own identity and coming into its own, maturing as well. But yeah, then this is from based off of what you're saying, of course.
Let's say the main issue was the migration, because you had a lot of bugs or people who were in between two chairs, not sure, all right, can we migrate? Is it safe? Is it production ready? But now it's more and more stable. So yeah, now the decision is like, oh, okay, it's Vue 3. And the question is like, oh, so do we start with Vue 3 if it's brand new app? Or how do we migrate there? It's not like, oh, should we go Vue 3, you know? And so this is helping quite a lot indeed, because you don't have this separation of teams of like, oh no, I cannot migrate, we will see in the next year or so. So, and it's also eased thanks to the migration guide that we have on the documentation. So everything is meant to ease people daily life of migrating, either in only the Vue project or the next one. Yeah, everybody is somehow finding their needs of staying on the old version, but still using modern things like Composition API, or just using the latest and freshest release.
That's cool.
I actually asked about it, Evan, you, when I interviewed him for this report, and he said, I would suggest evaluating each situation on a case-by-case basis.
For migrating from two.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not that for all the applications, we need to just right now migrate to Vue 3. For greenfield projects, probably it's always the best choice right now. But if we have large-scale applications, we should actually evaluate it on a case-by-case basis, right?
Yeah, it's like we have Composition API, but if you have a big project with, I don't know, like 5,000 lines of code, you don't need to rewrite it all if it works. You can still use Composition API in some places where you want maybe more flexibility or reusability, but if it works, you can just let it as is and it's perfect, because it's not, oh, it's Options API or Composition API. No, you can use both at the same time. It's perfect, even in the same file.
So there's nothing stopping you from introducing new features without breaking your existing code.
Exactly.
And especially you can use libraries that supports, for example, just one of those, because you can communicate between those APIs, right? So if you use library that only expose composables, you can use them in Options API because you can just return them in the setup function.
So here, we have a lot of questions regarding the state of Vue 3 and Evan's opinion on that.
How long did it take you to write up this report?
Oh, that's a tough question, because it wasn't me that wrote this report. Actually, this report, I guess that you should open the first or the second part page where
the second.
There are, oh, maybe even
the third.
So, first of all, here are the
multiple people.
The people that are responsible for editor and writing, editorial work. But on the next page, you will see contributors. And you will find that it's not just one person.
Wow, so that's a
there
lot
are a lot of people that put their two words here in this report.
Most of them are speaking at the conference.
Yeah,
so
that's a right, lot of familiar faces. Right. I think most of them, I don't think...
pretty much all.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe who not. Is this guy? Oh, yeah, Arthur Rosa.
Oh, yeah, Arthur Rosa. Who's that?
I don't know him.
Yeah. No?
No.
He could be your evil twin brother.
Yeah, we should invite him for an interview.
Not similar. Wait. Not similar.
Wow, who is this guy?
I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
Didn't he contribute to the Vue report Amsterdam 2022?
No,
that wasn't funny. Okay.
It was his cousin.
Anyway, we'll cut that out. Don't worry about it. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on today. It's really been a pleasure talking to you.
The question.
We always have a question that we finish the interviews off with. We ask this to every speaker. What is the one developer or life hack, developer hack or life hack, that changed things for the better for you that you would like to share with everyone listening in or watching back home?
I still need a minute for that.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, I'll just be browsing and we can wait until you're ready. No, go for it. It could also be a life hack.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily need to be development related.
Peeling potatoes is nice.
But what's it for? What hack is peeling potatoes?
Yeah, but to feed yourself, you know, and to stay alive.
To stay, oh, yeah.
Good hack.
It's a very basic hack, though.
Yeah, but it works.
It's a hack nonetheless. So for more life advice from Kisu, we'll start up a separate channel.
Welcome to the lifehack.kisu.io subdomain.
Anything view and potato related, that's your guy.
Yeah.
That's a hard question, really.
If you don't have an answer to that, that's also fine.
It's okay. It's more like if you have a sick tip, you know, like something
a good development tip or something. Something that you think, hey, this really helped me as a developer. I'd like to share this with the rest of the world.
Or even, I don't know, like in your life, if you found some nice thing on Amazon for $10 or whatever.
I have one, but I'm not sure if this is correct, but I can share it.
Yeah, go for
it. I'm sure it is.
Okay, so one life hack is that, actually I'm Firefox user. I'm a Firefox kind of guy. But there is a thing that you should know, that when you are using tools from Google, like Google Spreadsheets, Google Docs, Google Presentations, Google Meet, or something like this, always use Chromium-based browser, because Google is not supporting Firefox enough. And it's really helpful for meeting. When you're sharing your screen, you can be surprised how bad it is for Firefox, but it works great for Chromium.
Okay.
And it's not actually back with the Firefox, so for all other tools that are for conferencing, it works great, but especially for Google, remember to use.
It's like it's Chrome is the new IE come true, or it's Chromium in this case.
I do agree.
Sometimes it's they're trying to do it.
I mean, sometimes Zoom really don't works well. That's why I'm running it on Edge. As always, like.
Have you tried running Microsoft Teams in Firefox or even in Safari?
I'm not even sure what's Microsoft Teams.
It's like the Microsoft Slack competitor.
Ah.
And I can tell you, Chromium-based browsers, otherwise, just stop.
Since I'm on Linux, I'm not sure this will work anyway.
Oh, yeah, probably. So. You're not on Windows, sorry. We're not going to do this.
Please use Firefox.
I agree. Use Firefox. Thank you so much again, Arthur. And I hope to see you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks for listening, and until the next one.